I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, so that must make this The Next Page. Hey, Marissa.
Hi, how are you?
Terrific, how are you?
I'm good.
Are things going well in your new office environment?
Yeah, I'm in my a different recording location than normal. It's a little messy right now as I've been trying to reorganize it, but it's good. It's a very cheerful space. We painted it yellow years ago, and it's nice and bright, and I like it.
That's awesome. You know, the environment that we find ourselves in, or that we put ourselves in, is critical to our mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've talked about, you know, how do you put things around that cheer you up? And I'm glad that you got the yellow space and you're developing this as your home office. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was always my home office before, but it wasn't as formal of a space, I guess.
Okay.
It kind of had some dual purpose, and now we're making it pretty strictly my office. And
good.
So it's, you know, rearranging, sprucing it up. It's fun.
Good. That's exciting. Yeah. So you're making investments in your ability to work from home.
I am.
That's so interesting since we're talking about investments today.
Yeah, we walked right into that one, huh?
And people are going to say, oh my goodness, they're talking about investments? Yeah, well, don't ask me any financial
don't
advice
Don't ask
whatsoever.
Us for advice.
But I heard this quote this past week that said, the dream is free, but the journey isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing a lot of thinking lately and a lot of studying on the mind and the thoughts of a leader. So when I titled this, Are You Making the Investment? It really is, as leaders, and I really think all of us are leaders. You know, somebody at one time asked John Maxwell, are all great leaders born? And the answer was yes, because everybody's born.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not born as leaders. They're just born.
Right.
And leaders are developed. And all of us are really called to be leaders. And so I started thinking about what can we do to be intentional about our investments. And so in my post that went out this morning, Are You Making the Investment? I have three points that I highlighted here. And so the first one was, and really, we invest in something that we think has value.
Mm-hmm.
Or a dream or a goal or an objective that we have. So the first one for me was a healthy marriage. You know, my wife and I, we got married when we were 20. I actually think that was good because it allowed us to really, we weren't set in our ways when we got married, you know, and many people that listen know my wife's from Austria. So she came to the States when she was 17. So when I first met her, you know, there was still quite a bit more accent than what you hear today, Marissa, when you speak with her. But she spoke English pretty well, but she spoke English a little bit more like a Brit and a little less like, she spoke English, not American English, but it's still, she was very fluent in it. And the amazing thing, and I always say, is if I need somebody to proofread and you're not available, my wife can do it much better than I can. She can, you know, I can ask her, how do you spell this? What's this? And she just, she's amazing at it. But we realized, so we both had great role models for a healthy marriage. My parents are, you know, I think we talked about it a couple weeks back, 60 some years of marriage. My in-laws had a wonderful relationship, and unfortunately my mother-in-law passed away at 73 some years ago. But still they were just, it was one, they, you can tell when people love being together.
Yes.
And we saw that. And so my wife and I realized that even though we had great role models, there still has to be sacrifice that has to be made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was no longer my life or her life. It was our life, so to speak. And I started having to think about what that would mean as we journeyed our life together. So marriage was one. The other one, and this was a great title that you found, because you changed the, I don't remember what title I had in this for this third paragraph, was A Sensible Home. And I want to give the backdrop for this, because this was a trade-off, if I guess is a way to put it, to going back a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So my wife and I, we had just gotten married. My parents had a camp on Otisco Lake. It was about 5/8 of an acre, which was a really nice-sized lot. There was an old cottage, but there was also a three-car garage with a two-bedroom apartment above it. And my wife and I were renting an apartment, I think at High Acres up here on Onondaga Hill at the time. And my dad said to me, "Hey, would you and your wife be interested in buying half the property, the half that had the three-car garage, mm-hmm. with a two-bedroom apartment above it? You know, why pay rent when you can be paying your own mortgage?"
Yep.
And my first thought was, this is awesome, because mm-hmm. I love the lake. I mean, you know I love boats. Yeah. I love the lake. I love the water. I love the fish. So I quickly sketched up what that could look like as a house, you know, what kind of an addition could we put on it? And I sketched it up, and I really drew up what I thought was a really pretty looking colonial type of house with a walkout basement type of thing, right, mm-hmm. Right out to ground level that would go down toward the water. And then my wife and I started thinking about it. So if we're blessed with children someday, how does living that far away from our church, affect the parenting piece? Like, would we be willing, if there's something, young people's gatherings, to drive our kids in to town?
Mm-hmm.
Would we want them driving back and forth on snowy winter nights to a place out at the lake? So we got this nice house, but really, what was our focus in our life? Was it our house or was it our children?
Right.
And we made the decision, even before we had any kids, that we were going to pass up on that. Mm-hmm. We were going to sacrifice the house at the lake for a more sensible home in town, because we believed that was an investment in our children's future.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, because I shared this with my wife the other night when I told her what I had written, and she forgot the first decision that we made like that, because we made that decision twice. So about, it was in 2001, my dad then took my idea and built a house. So he took my idea, built a beautiful, beautiful house on the lake. And then it got to a point where he said, "I'm retired. I really can't afford to keep this place up at the lake. Do you want to buy it?" So my wife and I started thinking about it, and we said no,
mm-hmm.
because our kids now were in junior high and high school. Tim was probably still in elementary school. They would have been. But we had kids in school. And what we said was, the conditions that we had that caused us to turn it down the first time are still there.
Mm-hmm.
So we said no to the house on the lake again.
Wow.
Because we invested in our kids. And there was more to it. Now they were, did we want to move them from a school?
Mm-hmm.
Where they were well established. So as leaders, as parents, are we willing to invest in our kids? Are we willing to do without the trade-offs so they have a better life, a better upbringing, a better environment, whatever that might be?
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one that I put on my post-it here was growth and development, which everybody was expecting me to put.
Right. We couldn't lead with that because it'd be too predictable.
It's too predictable because I have a one-track mind and that's it. But what I wrote was something that I heard recently that shocked me, and that's John Maxwell spends 1 hour per day on growth and development.
Mm-hmm.
He turns 72 next month.
Wow.
And he's been doing it since he was like 17 or 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about investments compound, and when I thought about the fact that he's been doing this since he was in his late teens, it's no wonder he's written 100 books.
Right.
Because he's continually growing and expanding.
Mm-hmm.
So those were the three that I picked up on of areas where we invest. And since you get to see my writing before anybody else, what kinds of investments popped into your head that, we need to be making if we really want to achieve our goals and our dreams?
Well, initially what I thought about, this isn't actually going to completely answer your question, but when I think about life, it's full of investments. Essentially, okay. Every decision you make is an investment, because you're making a decision with your time, your money,
right.
You know, your effort. And it comes to me, it comes back to like that return. And that's what we need to think about, because we can make a lot of investments and they're not all good.
Right.
And so we need to think about, okay, where will I see the ROI, the return? So like back to your home example, you know, I'm sure your family would have been very happy living on the lake, and there would have been trade-offs, but the return was higher on the home you eventually built where you are now.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where my mind went, was thinking about all of the decisions that we're forced to make, and how, you know, sometimes there are good investments and there are great investments. And then that kind of got me thinking about, okay, like, where am I putting my time? Because when we hear the word investment, we immediately think of money, but I wanted to think about something different, like time and effort.
I like that.
And so I think
that's good.
I think, you know, we'll talk about too, like investing in our communities.
Right.
And, you know, one thing that came to my mind too is like investing in other people, and that not just that are like in the community volunteering wise, but people that we interact with on a daily basis at work, or the people that you know, like, I tend to go through the same checkout line at Wegmans. And it's like, how can I add value to that person when I'm seeing them every week? And things like that. So that didn't really answer your question, but I did probably open another can of worms.
No, it absolutely answered my question. So in what ways do you find that you can add value to the checkout clerk?
Well, I like to, you know, talk to them and ask them, like, how they're doing. So I feel like if I have a positive interaction with them, that it'll bring a smile to their face and that they'll almost, like, pay it forward. So if I'm standing there no matter what, right? And I always feel weird just standing them as they're, like, scanning all my stuff. So the other day I talked to a young woman about, like, she's in school right now, and I talked to her about her major and what she plans to do when she graduates and all that. And, you know, it broke up the monotony of just standing there and scanning groceries and tallying everything up. And it brightened her face. Like, she looked so excited to tell me about her dreams for after graduation. And, you know, I would think that that positivity would carry through at least to the person behind me, if not past that. And, you know, that would, again, like, pay it forward. So then maybe she would be cheery towards the next person behind me. And maybe that person's having a bad day, but then they get this cheerful cashier at Wegmans and their day turns up.
Absolutely. You know, and that's, to me, that's beautiful, because you never know when that investment in that person is going to hit the jackpot, so to speak, or when it's going to be, you know, perhaps, you know, and we've all read those heart-wrenching stories of a young person in high school that was contemplating suicide and had planned to do it, but somebody stopped them just to be kind. You know, there's a young man that I know, Nick Vujicic is his name, and I've talked about him. I don't know him well. My dad knows him much better than I do. The John Maxwell Organization has partnered with him, and Nick has no arms and no legs. And it was a janitor in his high school that said, Nick, someday you're going to be a motivational speaker. And Nick literally speaks to probably at this point hundreds of millions of people in every country imaginable about, you know, that every person has self-worth. And so those little tiny investments that don't cost us much of anything, but may, you know, we talk about, if I could say, you know, I've got an investment that you can make, it doesn't cost you much, but it's going to pay huge dividends 10 years from now. Everybody would make that investment.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is that that janitor's investment is like paying so many dividends right now.
Absolutely.
All the lives that are being touched.
Exactly. You know, and one, as you were talking about the cash register clerk, we have... We have an amazing letter carrier at our house. Mm-hmm. He just is amazing. And every chance I don't think he looks for excuses to bring the mail up to the door, but maybe it's just because of all the Amazon packages that come. But he'll drive up the driveway, you know, and he's always friendly. He's always nice. He's always smiling. Mm-hmm. You know, if I see him as I'm driving down the road, he's waving to me. And so I've tried. He's never taken me up on it, but I've said, you know, Larry, would you like an iced tea? Would you like a bottle of water? Would you like, I'm all set. Thanks so much. You know, mm-hmm. but just being nice to people mm-hmm. is that investment. I think we should also look at it. So clearly investments in our families, investments in our friends, investments in our own personal growth, our coworkers at work, you know, are we mm-hmm. investing the time to take an interest in them?
Right.
Because some may have nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And what a horrible thing to literally have no one.
Mm-hmm.
There was a man years ago, it was Thanksgiving, and my wife had this idea to invite people from a retirement center down the road from our church to a Thanksgiving dinner. We were going to do it at church because we figured there's got to be people with nobody there. Well, it turned out there were only three people that didn't have anybody. So my parents said, bring them out to our house. This was at the house they had out at the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And at dinner, we said, so why are you thankful? Let's go around the table and say what we're thankful for. And this one man, his name was Brownie. Brownie said, I'm thankful that I can spend Thanksgiving with people.
Hmm.
He said, you see, I have cancer. And I'm dying. And I'm going on a journey, and I don't know when I'm leaving, and I don't know where I'm going type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was just I looked at my dad looked at me, there was another gentleman who was a widower, a good friend of our family was there, our eyes met, and we realized, yeah, this is why we made this invitation,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so that we could speak into this man's life as he died.
Mm-hmm.
And he died, believe it or not, on Easter morning.
Wow.
That's how quick he failed. But, you know, he died with a smile on his face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people were just, because people invested in this man in his last few years of his life. Now, some might say, did he deserve it? Well, by his own admission, no, because I guess he was a pretty horrible man, you know, to his family. And, mm-hmm. and so nobody wanted anything to do with him. But he really regretted what he had done in his life. But because there were people, you know, it wasn't, and again, it wasn't me that thought of it. It was other people. But we just found this way to make a connection. So we never know where we're going to find that person. So that's these perhaps strangers in the community. I really want people to think about, are you investing in schools? And they're going to say, yeah, I pay taxes. No, are you investing? Are you right. running for the school board? Are you giving your time? You know, PEB, Partners for Education and Business, is always looking for mentors for their PTEC programs.
Mm-hmm.
Are you investing? Are you giving back? Are you giving back to your churches and faith communities? Are you giving back to the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts? You know, one of the neatest things for me some years ago was all of a sudden there's a house being built, kitty corner to our house up here on Onondaga Hill. And there aren't a lot of houses. When my wife and I built our house, there literally were very few houses. There's a lot more now. But a man that built the house kitty corner to us was the scout leader in my Weeblow troop
mm-hmm.
when I was growing up. You know, it's like, really? And he just, great guy. Get yeah. to see him every day as he drives by. You know, so those are the ways that I'm talking about investments. And then also, I want to touch real quick on training your staff. People say, well, we don't have money to train. We don't have time to train. Guess what? You never will.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, you're strangling the growth of your organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's all kinds of grants that can help with training. But the biggest point is, are you willing to invest in your people? Because the dividends that will pay can be exponential.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, people are essentially all you have.
They are. They are our prime asset. Mm-hmm.
Because if you without don't have them, the people, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Without them, we have nothing.
Right.
And the point is, we got to be investing. I also had a note here. Are we investing in our health? You know, uh-huh. Are we exercising? Are we eating right? If we don't, you know, if we invest in cigarettes and alcohol instead of, you know, good food and exercise, well, the dividends are going to show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll die young. if you don't invest, there can be no return on your investment.
Right.
And one of the things, too, I had a note here. If you do the right things daily, even when nobody sees it, something is happening. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, I put money in my 401k. Well, I put a little bit in every week or every 2 weeks. If I would look at that every week, I wouldn't see any big change. Mm-hmm. But if I don't look at it for 5 years, I'll see a big change. Mm-hmm. So just because you're not seeing a lot of these changes, don't think nothing's happening.
Right. I mean, all these investments are adding up to what will be your legacy.
Exactly.
So whether it be how much money you have in your 401k or the way you made people feel, the lasting impression you made on people, the way your children behave is, you know, a product right. of how they were raised typically.
Exactly.
The way you leave your community.
Yep.
That's what all of these small investments build up to at the end.
Right.
So if you filter your decisions and your choices through that lens and think about, okay, like, is this what I want to be remembered for? Is this what I want people right. to know me for? You know, do I want my employees to go home at the end of the day and say, my boss cares about me, my coworkers care about me?
Right.
That's a really good feeling.
It sure is. You know, there's nothing better than saying, you know, knowing when you go into work, the people there really care about you. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember I mentioned earlier that my mother-in-law had passed away. Mm-hmm. I think it might be 10 years ago already. Wow, that went quick. When we went into the funeral home, I wasn't surprised to see flowers from the company that I worked for. Mm-hmm. We did it for any family member of an employee. What stunned me was when I looked over in this one spot and there was a smaller flower arrangement from two of the hourly workers.
Wow.
That reported to me. Mm-hmm. You know, and it just blew me away that they would have done that. Mm-hmm. So in those moments, that's when I realized I was really loved by the people that I had the privilege of working with, you know, when I was at SelfLock.
Yeah.
So we came full circle. And, you know, you actually tied it back to the law number 21 of the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, the Law of Legacy. So brilliant mm-hmm. of you to bring it back to a Maxwell ending. So you probably want to know what I'm going to talk about next week.
Of course.
I'm thinking about stress, but in a way that is going to completely surprise people.
Okay.
How's that? I'll use that as a teaser, okay?
Yeah, I'm always up for a good stress conversation.
And it's based on an article that one of my coaching clients sent me this week.
Oh, cool.
So I have something else that I want to challenge people to. We're getting ready to, well, this is episode 85, I think. Yep, 85. So we're only 15 episodes away from 100. Mm-hmm. So we are going to try to do the next page bloopers of some sort. Which is probably going to be something like coughs and ums and uh-huhs.
A lot of coughs.
Yeah, because, boy, between the two of us over the last mm-hmm. 2 years, it's been something. Uh-huh. But we also want to do an episode that is just ask us anything. Mm-hmm. So ask if there's anything you'd like to know about us, about the topics we talk about, send us an email. Our email addresses are in the podcast description. So send us an email with a question. And once we compile enough questions to give ourselves a decent episode, we'll do it.
And really, ask us anything.
Ask us anything. Yeah, I don't think there's anything that we wouldn't talk about.
No.
I shouldn't say that, because there probably are some things we wouldn't. But anyways, ask us anything. And because you and I've noticed that there have been a lot of the podcasts that we follow that have used those. Uh-huh. Same type of thing. So that's what we want to challenge people. Send us questions. Ask us anything. Mm-hmm. And we will plan on doing that before we get to episode 100.
All right.
How's that? Any plans for the weekend?
No. How about you?
Okay. Yeah, I'm hoping that this weekend my son Jeremy and I start tearing down the engine that we took out of our old Lyman because she needs to be rebuilt before next summer. So I think that's a Saturday project because I got the bookcase finally installed in the bathroom. Oh my goodness.
It's been a journey.
It's been a journey. Twice I tried to put, you're going to think, what kind of a carpenter is he? Twice I tried to put it in and I had an issue where it didn't fit.
So. Maybe someone's going to ask us how to build a bookshelf that fits through the door.
Oh, I can do that. And it wasn't even the door. It was getting it past the shower into the, anyways. But yes, they can ask me anything. But the bookcase is in. My wife says it's beautiful. And so we are finally in the home stretch of that very, very long project. So.
Awesome.
So with that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And this was The Next Page.